because it reveals his life to us as he was on this earth. Now, you can go to the Old Testament and you can see the prophecies of Jesus Christ. It talks about the very things that he did, especially going to the cross, which is really the whole brunt of the Bible, is the fact that the Savior would come one day and he would die and then he would be buried and raised up again into newness of life, like we all who put our faith and trust in Christ will be as well. But as you look in the Gospels, you see how Jesus moved, how he reacted on this earth, what he did, why he came. Many times Jesus would see somebody and he would heal them. And the purpose of that healing had really one point, and that was that this person, first God would be glorified, and this person would trust him, put their faith in him. And he's doing the same thing today. He's just not walking on the earth, but he lives inside the believer, who those who know Christ as their Savior. And so as we're walking about the earth, our message should be similar to his, although it's him we're pointing to. Always him, because he's the one that can change a person's life and make a difference forever and ever and ever. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, just a minute and I'll get to John chapter 9. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And what he's referring to, again, it speaks of that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, is the fact that we want our eyes to be focused on one thing. And well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a difficulty in that, because Paul expressed that we have this battle. Even though we're saved and born-again Christians, we still have to deal with the flesh. As long as we're on this earth, or until Jesus Christ comes back and takes us off of this earth, we're going to have to deal with this. And the way we deal with it is to learn more about Jesus, to go into the Word of God and find out what the plan is, and then try to put it in practice, to live it. This is a living Bible. This is the Word of God. It's not just something you read, you put on the shelf and say, okay, I'll catch it back Sunday or next time I read it. It's something that we read and to find out what to do next. What to do next. I've been going through the census, and I was trained 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. I can't remember now. And they trained me in different applications, how to do the census. And this year we're using computers. 2010, I didn't have to worry about that. It was all in a book, in a paper, all that neat stuff. You could write on the paper and all that real easy. Now we got computers, and we got to figure out how to use the computer, the different programs or whatnot. And but they trained us for the purpose of that we'd be able to do the census. That is exactly what the Word of God is trying to do, is to train us to be able to do the bidding of the Lord. And so we want to take this and apply it. And I noticed when I went through the training, it's all online this year for the most part, and you go through this program, it's called the LMS, and when you go through there and you look at that, it's all in different modules. I don't get a whole lot out of that. I mean, I went through those modules and I was diligent. I wrote things down. I even took some pictures so I could remember some slides and stuff. And I don't remember how many I had to go through. I think it's like 8. You open a module and there's 10 other modules with it. It took a long time to go through that training. But anyway, it wasn't until I actually got on the computer and started using the program that I really understood it. I really knew what to do and how to use, and I'm still learning because we haven't really even gotten started yet. Supposed to start this weekend, didn't work out. But anyway, that's aside. But that's exactly what the Word of God does for us, is we take it, we read it, and then we go practice it. And then we realize, I see how this works. I see what the purpose is. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us. And of course, it begins with that foundation of knowing who He is. And so as we see that we want to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to follow Him. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you and I were to look out at America today, what do we see? People perishing. They're dying. There's been over 150,000 deaths in America, and we make a big deal out of that, but truthful, there's usually probably more of that every year that die from lots of different causes, accidents and all these things. And I'm not trying to brush that off. I'm just saying everybody is doomed to die because of sin. But the key to that is, do they know the Lord? Have they been told? They need a vision. And so this morning, I want to preach a message that I've titled, A Man Called Jesus. A Man Called Jesus. Now, if you'd stand, we're going to start reading in chapter 9. I'm going to read down verse 1 through 12, and we're probably going to cover the whole chapter this morning. So, Lord willing. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. You follow along while I read. Give you a second to get there. And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God this morning. We thank you for the power of God. The God that loves us so much, they sent Jesus. And as we look at this passage this morning, help us to be reminded that this morning Jesus is passing by. In everyone in this room, we get to make decisions based on what Jesus is telling and asking us to do. And I pray that if there's somebody here that's never put their faith and trust in Christ, really doesn't know what it means to be born again, doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them this morning, that they would realize Jesus is passing by. I pray you'd have your way in this service. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. So as we see this passage here, it starts off, we're going to see a progression. We're going to see how this man starts to know or learn about Jesus. And it's kind of the way any disciple or any person will learn about Jesus. First, they have to come to the point of a man called Jesus. That's the first thing. They have to realize who Jesus is, this man called Jesus. And as we said in chapter 1, verse 9, it says, And as Jesus passed by this morning, I want you to know, and every time you open the Word of God, in a sense, maybe not literally, but in the sense spiritually, Jesus is passing by. He is giving us something. He is speaking to us. He's trying to share some things with us. And it's all to God's glory, every bit of it. He said he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This morning, I wonder how many people in this room are blind. I'm talking about spiritual things this morning. Never accepted Christ as your Savior. Never understood what it meant was to walk with Christ. Do not have that relationship. There are many people in the world today that are blind to these facts. In fact, we're going to meet some of those people in this passage that are blind to these things. So he saw this man. He reached out to this man. Of course, his disciples, as they are traveling along, they have this mindset, sort of like Job's friends, okay? They said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So in their mind, the only purpose for you to have an affliction or a problem in your life is that you must have sinned or somebody in your family has sinned. Now, we know there are different reasons for it. There's a sin unto death, the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 5. There's a sin to sickness, but there's also, or chastisement, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12. But there's also a sickness to God's glory. God wants to do a work and come out on the other side that he gets the glory for this. However it came about that every eye is pointed to God, that God on the throne was the one who accomplished this feat. And that's exactly what he's trying to teach his disciples here, is that this situation has one specific reason. That's to God's glory. This fellow who's blind, it's to God's glory. God knew from the very beginning, or Jesus knew from the very beginning, that this man was going to be born blind. He knew from the very beginning that he would meet this man one day. He knew from the very beginning that this man would see. He knew all about this situation. He knows all about your situation today. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you're at. He knows how you're walking, how you're living. He knows if you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. He knows that. I don't know that. He does. He knows that. So here's this blind fellow. He's begging. He can't do anything else. So he's stuck in this situation. This happens to be on the Sabbath day. We haven't read that yet, but in verse 14, it's on the Sabbath day that he's doing this. And we're going to see that's a big stumbling block for a lot of people, okay, at this particular time. So here he's doing something to give God the glory. Look at verse 7. Or excuse me, verse 6 again. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So here's this man that has a situation. Now, I want you to realize that Jesus came to take care of folks. And often he would heal them to demonstrate the faith that they had in him, and they would put their faith and trust in him for the rest of their lives. It happened many times, and he didn't do it always the same way. There's no set pattern here. It's like the gospel. When you present the gospel, there's no set pattern. The facts are the facts, though. You want to share the gospel, the good news that you're lost, Jesus died for you, and if you put your faith and trust in him, that you can have everlasting life. But there are a lot of ways to share that, and that's what Jesus is demonstrating here. This is just another way, because he had healed other people that were blind. There was two men that came to Jesus crying in Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 30, and they said, Thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And he asked them a question, and he says, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they answered, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And of course, their eyes were opened. That was instant. Immediately, their faith was demonstrated because their eyes were opened. They believed God could do that, or Jesus Christ could do that. And he did it. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25, there was a blind man in Bethsaida. He had some friends that sought after Jesus. They had faith that Jesus could heal. The Bible tells us when Jesus had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And the blind man replied to him, he says, I see men as trees walking. He can't see clearly. Jesus put his hands on his eyes and he saw clearly in verse 25. He did it different ways. Today he works in your life in different ways. I was sharing this with somebody yesterday, is that often the Word of God is preached and the message is outlined by the Scripture, but often what happens is people listen and hear, and those that are listening, the Spirit comes to them and gives them the message that they need to hear, not necessarily the message that is being preached. I've heard it many times. Many times. Here's the passage, but this is what I got out of it, because God knew what I needed. And he was dealing with me in the way that I needed to be dealt with. Jesus is using this as opportunities to go and help people see him and put their faith and trust in him that God may get the glory. So Jesus sent this man to the pool of Siloam. He went. Of course, that demonstrates a lack of faith. It was a test. Jesus, he spits on the ground, makes some mud or clay. He puts his on his eyes and say, hey, now go wash. Go to the pool of Siloam. We remember Naaman when he was upset that the prophet, I think it was Elijah, told him to go wash in the River Jordan. Or was it Elisha? I can't remember now. And he didn't want to do it. But when he did it, his leprosy was cured. Why? Because he was obedient to the Word of God. This fella had a test. He could have said, I don't believe this is going to help. I've been blind for this long period of time from birth, and what, you're spitting and putting clay on my eyes, and you want me to go wash it off in the pool? So why don't I just get some water and wash it off here? Because that isn't what Jesus told him to do. So the test was to obey Jesus. And we know he had a choice, and he made the right one. Because he went to the pool of Siloam and washed. And he could see. And it was a miraculous event. It's something that happened. The Lord puts us through tests all the time. Those tests aren't to see if we will fail. Those tests are to accomplish his will in our lives, that he might strengthen us, might help us to grow and be more like him. These tests are to hone us and to understand his purpose and plan for our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't like tests. I don't like those trials. It's like, oh, please, not again. I don't want to do this. And usually they're brought on by my own disobedience or whatever. Not always, but most times. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14, Peter wrote this to the Christian brethren, specifically to the Jews that were Christians. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." That's the glory of God. That's what we want in our lives. So the blind man, he passed the test. He did what he was told to do. Look at verse 8. "The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" They recognized this fella, but some of them said, "Well, yeah, that's him." And others said, "Well, it looks kind of like him." They were confused. Even though he looked just like he had looked before, only now he can see, the difference was. I remember going to my sister one time, and I'd shaved my beard off. I think he's probably 92, I'm thinking. Anyway, she looked at me and says, I left my mustache. She says, "Did you grow a mustache?" I said, "No, I shaved my beard off and left my mustache." See how funny? It's funny, but that's what these people, they saw this guy, and they kind of knew it, but he's kind of like him, but oh, we're not sure that is him. So here's some folks that are looking at this guy, and they're not even sure if it's the same guy or not. But his life had been changed. The fact was, he was blind. But his life had been changed, and he can see. His eyes were opened. This morning, that's what the Word of God wants to do for us. We come to these services for a purpose, that God will enlighten us and open our eyes to the things of God. We come with the Spirit of God saying, "Lord, show me, teach me, help me to understand." When I go to the Word of God, I'm praying and saying, "Lord, help me, give me understanding." Sometimes I'm praying, "God, give me a message." Back this week, it was one of those weeks. I was sitting in the office, I'm reading through the Bible. I'm thinking maybe I'll do something in Job because I've been reading through the book of Job. And there was a message there, but the Lord just wouldn't let me do that one. I wanted to do that one. And he showed me this one and said, "This is the one you want. This is the one you need this weekend." I said, "Okay." And that's what God wants to do for all of us, is to show us, to guide us. And look at verse 11. Well, they are asking him a question. Verse 10 says, verse 9, "Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open?" How'd this happen? When you got saved and you got excited about the Lord, there are people going to ask you, "Why did you change? What happened in your life? What's changed about you?" Because there is a change. It's a change that happens. It's a real change. You may not have your physical eyes open, but you have your spiritual heart. It is open and your eyes are open and you see differently. It's exciting to tell somebody that you got saved, if it's real and you did. And he says to them, "A man that is called Jesus." It was a man that is called Jesus. Of course, I broke that down a little bit and said a man called Jesus. So the first thing we see here is that this blind man has recognized that this man that did this to him is a man called Jesus. We need to know who Jesus is. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. A lot of people, the only time they say the word Jesus or his name is when they string along with a bunch of cuss words. You can hear it all day long in some places. They don't think twice about it. Invoking God's name, Jesus' name, and throwing some other words behind it or before it. We need to know who Jesus is. And Jesus is going to teach this man who he is in this passage because it's important. Jesus did come as a man, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He came as a man, but he was 100% God as he was 100% man. He felt like you feel. He had emotions. He had to eat. He was tired. You're saying God was tired? Yeah, in the form that he was in. Philippians 2:6-9 says, who being in the form of God, just like God, God is a spirit, the Bible teaches us, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That form of a servant, being made in the fashion of man, or in the likeness of man, really is in the likeness of a sinner, although he is not. He had never sinned, could never sin, because he's God. He is different than anybody else. He didn't have a human father. His father was by the Holy Spirit. God himself was the Father. He says, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God died for you. Will you die for God? Is Jesus Christ God? Yes, he is. What did he do? He went to the cross and he died, literally, for me. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In verse 12, they said, then said they unto him, where is he? They wanted to find this man named Jesus. I would too. Where's he at? I want to go see him. I want to find out what this is about. And of course, the blind man said, I know not. And then we come to verse 13 through 22. We see that it's a man called Jesus, but now I want you to see that he is a prophet. We're going to learn more about Jesus. He's a prophet. In verse 13, it says, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So now they're taking this blind man and they're taking to him the religious crowd. Those people who knew the Old Testament inside and out. These people who were religious in their works. Religious in their thoughts. Religious in what they tried to do. Although they messed up pretty bad. Because they were blind. They were spiritually blind, and yet they're going to talk to a man that was physically blind, but now he has eyes to see, and his spirit is starting to be moved to the things of God. But they want to know, how'd this happen? Who done this? Verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That's another strike against Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of every day. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. They're reasoning in themselves, right? This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So now they're saying, well, this is a man like everybody else. He's a sinner. How can he do miracles? Sinners can't do miracles. And there was a division among them. When Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to send peace on this earth. How many times do we think we want peace, peace, peace? We do. The only peace is going to occur when we meet Jesus Christ face to face. Now, he can give you peace with God when you accept Christ as your Savior today. He can give you the peace that passes all understanding. He can give you the peace that knows that you're walking with him and following him. And you, even though you're going through the trials, the struggles, whatever difficulties you've got in your life, God gives us and can give us peace through that. But real peace, he didn't come to do. He came to bring division. Separate mom and dad. brother and sister. You say, really? Yeah, why? And he's just telling us exactly what he's going to do. For those who put their faith and trust in Christ are going to be different than those that don't. Mom gets saved, dad doesn't. There's a division. How many marriages have broken up because one of the spouses received Christ as their Savior and wanted to live their life for God? Children. Brother gets saved, sister doesn't. Division. Here's division amongst the Pharisees. Some don't believe this. Hey, this guy can't be of God. And some are thinking maybe he is. This is something new. This is something miraculous. Something has taken place here. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Can you see the blind man? Can you see his progression here? First, it's a man called Jesus. That's where we have to come first. Who is Jesus? He's learning who he is. He's a prophet. He's someone who is a foreteller. Jesus Christ himself is a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. This is Jesus. He's gained some understanding. In Luke chapter 24, verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He was a prophet. This fellow who's blind, his eyes are opened, and spiritually he's starting to see things. Not just physically. He's a prophet. In verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they weren't going to believe anything until they got confirmation. They called the parents and said, hey, can you tell us what happened here? Verse 19, they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now look at verse 22. The word spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So this blind young man, he's already got a problem on his hands. His parents, they weren't going to say anything. Of course, they didn't know a whole lot, okay? They probably didn't know all the details. But the blind man did, and he knows that if he talks about this, he's going to be put out of the synagogue, cut off from the religion that he has served all his life. They're going to do away with him and throw him out, okay? That's taking a stand, isn't it? Why? Because something powerful happened in this guy's life, and we're going to see his personal testimony. He's going to give a testimony here. This is something, again, that we as Christians and the Spirit of God that lives in us would drive us to give a testimony of the miraculous event that took place in our lives. Don't ever get over your salvation. Don't ever get over the fact that God changed your life and He made you different. People need to hear that over and over again. I wonder if this blind man, the rest of his life, he didn't go talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that happened in his life every chance he got. We don't have the rest of the story, but I would think so. But nonetheless, he's going to give a testimony here because they're going to challenge him still. In verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So basically what they're saying is, praise God because this man's a sinner. Well, Jesus is not a sinner. We know that. This blind fella didn't know that. He doesn't know a whole lot about Jesus yet. He's just learning. He learned that he's a man called Jesus. He knows that he's a prophet or believes that. And so now he's going to share his testimony. And listen to what he says. And this is a personal testimony of what's happening to him. And again, it's not all come together yet. He's still on the road. He's learning about Jesus, just like everybody has to learn about Jesus before they ever put their faith and trust in Jesus. You have to know what He can do and what He has done for you. You have to know who you are in the sight of God before you can really understand salvation. If you never understand that you were lost, why would you put your faith and trust in Jesus? What would be the point? Because the fact is, you have to be lost to understand why Jesus died. Because of sin, right? And so here's this blind fella. He's being attacked, in a sense, by the Pharisees. And verse 25 says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Then he tells some facts. He says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. When you got saved, that time you got saved, you knew there was a difference. It's not something that sneaks up on you. It's not something you grow into. It's boom, transition. Just like the blind man's eyes were blind, now they see. That's salvation. That's born again. Some people think it's a progressive thing. The progressive part of it is learning about Christ and then accepting Christ as your Savior. But there he is. He knows. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Come on, tell us. What was the magic words? What wand did he wave over you? They're wanting to know how he did this. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Boy, that made them mad. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. I wish Moses would come back and say, trust Jesus, follow Jesus, because he would if he could. In fact, he has already in the scriptures that we know of. Verse 29 says, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You don't know about this? You guys don't know about this miraculous event that this fellow, Jesus, can do? You don't have any idea who he is? You don't know nothing about him? Well, what do you mean? This is the blind man saying this. Now, we know these folks have heard of Jesus many times. In fact, they've tried to kill him several times. And verse 29 says, we know that God spake... Oh, excuse me, not verse 29. Verse 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. This is the blind man speaking, because he's just speaking what the Pharisees have taught him. This is the religion they believed, and it's true. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. He said, if you know God and you do his will, God's going to listen to you. He's going to hear you. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man openeth the eyes of one that was born blind? And listen what he says here. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You know what he just said? Jesus is of God. He started out that a man called Jesus came by, passing by his way one day. That blind man didn't seek Jesus. He wasn't looking for Jesus. First off, he couldn't see. But it's Jesus who said that he came to seek and save that which is lost. But there he was. He passed by, he saw the blind man, and he opened his eyes miraculously. And soon after that, he's still being questioned. He said, he's a prophet. This fella's special. He can do things. He knows things. And he's talking to the religious people. You guys don't know about him? Because they were spiritually blind. Today, there are Christians who are spiritually blind. 2 Peter tells us that. They've forgotten they were saved from their sins. Why? Because they're not communing with Christ. They're not walking with Christ. Christ passes by and they don't catch it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. Many today are in that condition. Jesus is of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 3 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So what it's saying is every spirit that confesses Christ is of God. Jesus Christ is of God. So they rebuked him in verse 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? What do? They turned everything around. Says, you are born in sins, as though they were not. You see what they thought of themselves? They thought because of their lineage, Levites more likely, that because of their parenting all the way down to Moses and on, that they were righteous. That they were doing everything right. They were perfect. They were God's chosen people. But you, which happened to be a Jew as well, you are born a sinner. Why? Because he's blind. If they could only see what they were saying, if they could only hear, if they could only, when Jesus passed by, if they could only understand that he was a prophet, that he was of God, if they could only understand that. People living in our country today and the world do not understand that. And they're missing out. Missing out. So let's go to 35. So right now we've seen that Jesus, a man called Jesus, he's a prophet. He is of God. Jesus is a prophet of God. Okay. A man called Jesus is a prophet of God. That's what we've just learned in this passage. This is what this blind man has come to realize. He has stood the test of time. He stood up to the Pharisees and he told them the truth. Why? Because the truth was on his side. Even though they may have done something to them, like kick him out of the synagogue or whatever, he was willing to pay the price for the truth. Willing to share what's happened in his life for the truth. He was not afraid of whatever was going to come after that. Now, that's what I see as an application here. Verse 35 says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, he hasn't come to that knowledge yet. He doesn't know who the Son of God is. He knows a man called Jesus, that he's a prophet of God. That's all he knows. Now, Jesus is coming to him one-on-one. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave him hanging. That Jesus came back to him. Jesus is passing by this morning again. He comes by every time the Word of God is open. Please, listen to what he says. Don't let him pass by and not get the message that he wants to give us. He came back. Verse 36, and the blind man answered and said, Who is he, Lord? At least he had some respect for Jesus Christ. He knew he was a man called Jesus. He was a prophet and of God. But he didn't know who the Son of God was. And he says, That I might believe on him. His heart has already been convicted. His heart is already ready. He's one of those that the ground has been plowed up, the seed has been planted, it's been watered, and it's ready for reaping. It's ready to be reaped. He's there. The harvest is now. And there he is. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Basically saying, he says, You see me, and I'm talking with you. I am. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. And he said, Lord, I believe. Powerful words, folks. I believe. When I believe something, I act upon it. When I believe something to be true, I'm going to follow it. I'm going to demonstrate I believe it. That's what happens in our lives. If we believe something, we're going to do it. If I believe my car is going to start, I'm going to get in the car and not worry about it starting. But sometimes it fails me. This winter, my battery failed me. That was my fault, though. We were in Gardner, Maine, and we're sitting there, and I was running the car. Shouldn't have been. I left my wife. She turned it off. And anyway, the radio's on. The lights are on. I turned the lights on. Didn't turn them off. Came back out, and the car's dead. It failed me. I trusted that car. I opened the hood and said, what's going on, battery? Come on, get up, get up. Didn't work. But luckily, or no, Lord's blessed, I have Travelers Insurance and I can call the roadside service. It's free. So I called up a guy and said, hey, my battery's dead. Come fix me. 20 minutes later, he came and jumped me off and we're all good. But that's just a side. But we can believe in Jesus Christ. We can believe that what he says is true. We can put our faith in him. And our faith is demonstrated by how we love him. Jesus made this statement. This is not my words. He said, if you love me, Jesus said, and you know the rest of it, keep my commandments. I'd hate to stand before the Lord today and have a checklist of God looking at me or Jesus looking at me and said, here's the things that I commanded you to do. And of course, there's really two basic commandments. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Those are the basic two great commandments, or commandments to keep. If you keep that first one, you're going to study the Word of God and find out what those are. How do we demonstrate the love? How do we demonstrate that we believe what he says? It's all there for us. Just like Paul is writing, and in this case, John. It's there for us. So he believed. And look what happened right after that. And he worshiped. He worshiped God. I'm guilty of not doing that at times. I'm learning, though. I try to keep God on my mind all the time. If I'm walking out to my car, I want to be talking to God. Because I can barely chew gum and do walk, but I really do want to talk to God. When I'm driving, I want to talk to God. If I'm by myself, if there's nobody there with me, God is there. He's somebody I can reach out to and talk to. I can put him on my radio and listen to him. Last night I did a thing I hadn't done in a long time. I put my headset on and put it on John and just started listening. And I fell asleep sometime, which it works. But I was sitting there listening to the Word of God. I thought, wow, this is so cool. You can get it all the time. So here Jesus is the Son of God, and he tells him that he's the Son of God. And this fellow put his faith and trust in Jesus. See, this man had an encounter with a man called Jesus, a prophet, sent of God, the Son of God. I wonder this morning as Jesus is passing by, is he talking to you? Is he speaking to you this morning? It could be as simple as you need to put your faith and trust in me. You need to realize you're lost. Without me, you're doomed. And I died for you. And I was buried. I rose again. I shed my blood for your sin. I became sin for you. I bore your sin. This morning, your life can be changed. Just like this fellow when he said, I believe. There was a miracle that took place. This miracle is he became a new creature in Christ. He was changed into a new person. Before, his neighbors and friends couldn't even be sure it was him. Now, there's a reason for that we see. Because he was different. He was being changed even at that point. Physically in his life, but spiritually for sure. He had a new master. And what is it that we have to do? Well, Paul wrote about this, and it's really simple. The problem is understanding it and believing it. Because it's really simple. First, realize you're lost. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not pointing out any certain individual. We're all in that same boat at one time if we haven't put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've all sinned. Everybody's sinned. There's no doubt about that. And we all come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And if you can understand that, and you can understand that, yes, I am a sinner. God is holy, and I cannot attain. I can't work hard enough. I can't be good enough. I can't read my Bible enough. I can't get baptized. I can't join the church. None of those things are going to save me or change my life. Only one thing, and that's a relationship. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's it. No other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way. No other way. And if you ever hear there's another way, realize that's a false gospel. That they're lying to you. There's no other way. So what do I got to do? I know I'm a sinner. Well, in Romans, I'm going to turn there for sake of making sure I don't say this wrong. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and you really have to do it this way. You have to believe it with all your heart, number one. When you realize you're lost and you can't save yourself, and you realize that Jesus died, you're going to make a decision. In your heart and mind, you're going to make a decision saying, man, I'm so guilty. I'm a filthy, wicked sinner. You know what? You are. And it's just admitting it. It's confessing and owning up to it. And that's what Paul writes here. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and it says, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm already agreeing that I'm a sinner. I am repenting. Repenting means a change of mind. So when I got saved on October 26, 1992, as an unborn Christian, and quotes on that Christian because I wasn't, when I got saved that night, I believed with all my heart. And sitting in the pew, and I was sitting in the second pew, it didn't have padding on it, just all wood. Not that it matters. But I'm there sitting there thinking, if I die tonight, or if I leave this building without answering the call that God is drawing me right now, this was on my heart. Now, I had enough Bible to know this. I don't know if this is true. I'm just telling you where I was, that if I left that place, my chances were zero, zilch. I'd heard the gospel so many times and tried to make it right. God, if I'm not saved, please save me. Doesn't work. So sitting in that pew that night, I said, Lord, I am lost. I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to spend eternity with you. I deserve hell, because I understood it for the first time. And that night, I cried out to God and said, Jesus, please save me. And you know what? It works. It happened. Just as though my eyes had been blind that night, soon as I confessed my sin, asked Christ to save me, they came off. Just like washing in the pool of Siloam. That's what happened spiritually to me that night. And you couldn't have wrenched it away or took it away or told me I wasn't saved. There was nothing you could do to change my mind that night. Of course, I had enough Bible to know that, because I'd been in church for 3 years, serving lots of ministries. I knew 100% what happened to me. You could sit there and try to talk me out of it, and I'd sit there and say, hey, just get away. Let me explain the gospel to you. From that time, since this time, I've never doubted my salvation. Why? Because I believe it with all my heart. I wouldn't be here today if I did. I couldn't. There's no way. I could never be a car salesman because I don't believe in those cars that much. But the gospel's another story. So he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, simply thou shalt be saved. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today I want to confess the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord. And that's what we need to be confessing today to everybody. Because I have a new Lord. It's not my job. It's not my hobbies. That's not my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what's going on in my life because of Him. I want to point you to the one that can change your life. In verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's all it takes. I'm going to close it up. This morning, a man called Jesus opened a blind man's eyes so he could see the light of the world. His life was changed forever. Today, yours too can be, if you choose to follow Christ. But don't be like the Pharisees, be religious and thought they could see because of their works. You know, I've heard people tell me I said a prayer. I've heard people tell me I've been baptized. I heard people tell me, you talk to them and say, oh, I'm a member of such and such church. when you're talking about the Lord. Oh, I put my faith and trust in Christ. He's changed my life. And my membership is, you see the difference? Because people hang their hats on all these different things, but there's only one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today you have that opportunity. Paul did this. This is Paul's life. Let me share this with you, and we're done. He was talking to King Agrippa. And, of course, God had sent Paul to preach the gospel. If you look at his life, that's what he was all about. That's the whole thing he had. That was his message, wherever he went. Of course, he taught us how to live as Christians as well along the way. Why? Because that preaches the gospel as well. The two go hand in hand, the walk and talk. Talk and walk, okay? But this is what he said to King Agrippa, why he was sent to preach Jesus. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. This morning, I want you to think about this. If you've never done this, and if you have, I want you to think about renewing this. If you're not following Jesus Christ, and you know you're not, I don't know who those people are, but I know I was one of them. And it could be anybody. Make a decision to do so. Come and meet the man called Jesus. He's a prophet of God. He's the Son of God. And he can change your life forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. I thank you for revealing to me a man called Jesus, and giving me understanding that I was lost and that Jesus died for me. And today I can say I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is God. Father, I pray today, if there's anybody in this room who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus, I pray the Spirit of God would be working and that would draw that person. And today would be the day they bow a knee, confessing their sins and asking Jesus to save them. Father, I believe if there's Christians here today that they know in their heart of hearts, based on what the Word of God says, not what I say, that they're really not following Jesus. That they too would make a public profession, bowing their knee and confessing that they haven't been doing what they should. We just pray you'd have your way in each one of our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.